Church, how's everybody doing? A few of you doing well here? Well, look, I just want to take this time to welcome all of those that are watching online. Come on, let's welcome them that are watching online and at all of our campuses throughout the state. This weekend we are celebrating Palm Sunday, and all across the world, this is what is kicking off what we know as Passion Week. And today we're going to be taking communion as a church family. And what we're doing this week, all throughout this week, I want to encourage you to look back at the moment that Jesus entered in Jerusalem and went all the way to the point that we're going to see on Good Friday, the cross of Christ. And then, as you know, next week, we're going to be celebrating Easter. How many of y'all are thankful that we serve a risen God, or a risen Savior? Come on, let's give it up for Jesus in this place. Amen. So it's going to be a great week, and Pastor Harry is going to have a few more things to share, a little bit about Easter as well. But I do want to say hello from Pastor Rick, all the way from California. He's actually one of our churches that we help oversee, and they got a big grand opening with a new building that they're doing. And I got to tell you something, guys. One of the things I appreciate about Pastor Rick is he is kingdom-minded. It's something that we do every week. We pray for other churches, because here's the thing that we know. We're not the best church. How many of y'all know that? And a part of this church, God's doing some amazing things. But part of the leadership, part of the things that we want to do is also serve other churches and other pastors. And so if you appreciate that about Pastor Rick as well, let's give Pastor Rick a hand for that too. Well, guys, if you have your Bible or maybe your smartphone, I want you to open up with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, this is where we're going to be reading our passage here today. And I hope all of you have been enjoying the one-year Bible. I know a few weeks back, we were in Leviticus, and I don't know about you guys, but I kind of dropped out a little bit. Anybody dropped out a little bit? All right, you kind of going through Leviticus. It's like, okay, can I get through this? You know, but here's the thing. If you got far behind, all you got to do is just pick right back up, man. Just jump in with us. This week, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at Jesus Christ as he started his earthly ministry. But if you're taking notes here today, here's the thing I want you to see. Here's the question I want to pose to you, and that is, how do you respond to failure? How do you personally respond to failure? Or better yet, I probably should ask a friend or someone that knows you personally and say, how do they respond to failure? Because they know how you do that. And I think it's important to understand, here's the truth. Failure is a part of life. Let me just say that again. Failure is a part of life. Now look, dads, when I say failure, come on, man, I'm not talking about making those little mermaid cookies for your daughter and they turn out looking like Donald Trump. That's not failure, okay? Not talking about that. What I'm talking about, guys, when you've taken a risk or when you've fallen back into some type of sin and you know you fell flat on your face. Failure. Write this down. We will all fail. Everyone fails. But come on, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Come on, elbow him a little bit there. But the reality is we're talking to everybody in this room. We all have failed, maybe this year already. How many of y'all would go back to the New Year's resolutions? Y'all remember those things, right? About 90 days ago. How many of y'all still in the gym, right? Okay, we all fail, man. And the serious thing is, many of us, we find ourselves falling backwards into maybe an old habit, maybe to an old sin, maybe to an old pattern of life that we used to do. We all have failed. Just this week, some of you know that I'm talking to you. You failed in your emotions, right? Maybe the way you went a little cray-cray on the kids, right? A little cray-cray on the spouse or maybe even your boss. Am I talking to anybody in here? All right, we've all blown it at times in our life. But here's the thing I want you to see, man, is that God gives us a second chance. What I love about the leadership here in Pastor Rick, our pastor, he is willing to take a risk, man. It's always an adventure serving God with Pastor Rick. But I got to tell you something else I love about Pastor Rick. He's willing to take a risk in people that have failed. He's willing to take a risk in people that have failed. If you're going to be a part of our team here at New Life Church, especially if we're bringing you on the team, one of the first questions we're going to do as we sit down on an interview is we're going to ask you, tell me where you fail. We want to celebrate all of our successes. I mean, think about your resume. It's a few pages of all the great things you've done. But what about your failures? Because here's the thing I know, guys. If you failed at something, then you're tough. If you failed at something, you probably got a little bit more faith. And that's what I love about the staff here at New Life Church. Here's the thing about us. We've all are failures, man. We've all failed. Now, how many of y'all got confidence in your staff here, right? We've all failed. Now, I want you to go back with me now. Let's look. And here's the thing we want to look at. What's the difference maker in failure? And it really comes down to this. How will you respond to it? What's your response to your failure? In Luke chapter 5, let's just set this up a little bit. You read this morning or even the past couple of days. Luke chapter 3, we get the deal here that Jesus is coming out of temptation. And then he starts starting his earthly ministry. And he goes to his hometown, and there he was rejected. We see a lot of things that take place there. And then Jesus is kicked out of his hometown, and so he goes into this area known as Capernaum. And Capernaum is around the Sea of Galilee. And so this is a village and several villages there. And Jesus starts doing his ministry there. And out of that, man, Jesus becomes very popular. A lot of great miracles are taking place in this. So y'all look at me in Luke chapter 5. And here's what we're going to see. This is the story of a miracle. It's a great miracle that takes place. And a lot of times when you look at miracles, you think of God's compassion. God's compassion to love people. But in this miracle, what Jesus is going to teach us, it's more of a parable. And that is to know that God's going to turn your failure into success. Luke chapter 5, here it is, verse 1. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, I want y'all to look at this. It says great crowds. There were great crowds. I mean, there's a lot of people coming, pressing on Jesus. They had a lot of needs. People wanted to be healed. People wanted to be set free. When Jesus was in town, man, people were coming all around him. And look, they wanted to listen to the word of God. Verse 2. So he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left. Everybody say left. That's important. They left them and were washing their nets. In other words, they were closing shop. This was early in the morning after 10 hours of fish. They were done. Then verse 3. It says, he's stepping into one of the boats. Jesus asked Simon, its owner. Simon is known as Peter. He said to push it out into the water. So they sat in the boat, and he began to teach the crowds from there. Now, let's just set this up, and I want you to understand. Here's Jesus being pressed. Crowds are coming in. So he steps in a boat, and he pulls away. Why does he do that? Very practical reason. Jesus needs some space between the people. And he sat down, and he began to teach them. And here's the thing. I think the most important thing here, that's a practical reason. But the real reason I believe why Jesus did this, because he wanted to get in someone's boat. Here's the crowd like we have here today. Large crowd, thousands of people here. Large crowd. Jesus is speaking to a large crowd that day. But all of a sudden, somebody's boat got Jesus' attention. All of a sudden, you see Jesus speaking to the crowds, and he finds Simon Peter. And he begins to speak to Simon Peter. Now, here's the thing I want you to realize, guys. This message today is for you. This message today, I believe God's going to aim his words. God's going to aim his word of God towards you today. That's the kind of God that we serve. So we continue on in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And it says this here. It says, when he had finished speaking. So he's talking to the crowds. He's ministering to all the crowds. Then all of a sudden, he says to Simon, all of a sudden, the attention changes. Large crowd, now individual. Large crowd, now what? Individual. God wants to talk to you. And listen to what he says. Now go out where it's deeper. Let down your nets to catch some fish. Look at Peter's response here in verse 5. Master Simon, he replied, we worked hard all last night, didn't catch a thing. How many of y'all ever been fishing, you didn't catch a thing, right? All right, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. Now, when we read that, a lot of times, we don't necessarily read with the right tone. Now, how many of y'all remember Peter, man, and throughout the Bible? This guy's a rough cat, right? He's a fisherman, all right? This guy's a hard worker. And I think tone's very important when you read the Bible. So when Peter, really, when Jesus, and again, it's a little bit of conjecture. I'm thinking about this, but I think Jesus, when he said this to Peter, Peter kind of bowed up. You know what I'm saying? Peter looked at Jesus and said, are you crazy, man? Are you kidding me? I mean, I worked all night, and you want me to do what? I'm tired, I'm worn out, and you're asking me to go back out there again? Tone, right? Some of you men, you got the same tone with your wife. Right, ladies? Sometimes we get back, you know, we've been working all day, we get to the house, and the wife's been working as well. And I know I do this to Marcy a lot. And Marcy, I get home and she's like, you need to pick your clothes up, right? You need to pick your clothes up. And she's getting ready for supper. You need to go pick your clothes up. And here's what my tone is. It's like, are you kidding me? I've been working hard all day. I've been struggling. I'm telling you, I'm weary. I'm tired. And if I've been, y'all know my back, you know, I tweak my back a little bit, man. I can't pick those clothes up. Can't do it. How many of y'all know just one look and it's yes, dear, right? Yes, dear. Now, look, guys, I want to share a scientific study. Came off of Facebook. Scientific study. Y'all know everything you read on Facebook's true, right? I was reading this study. Norwegians. Now, Norwegians are bright people. Now, guys, listen to me. I'm going to help you out here. It's a great study, man. Norwegian study. Listen to what it said. It says, the more housework a man does, the higher he is at the risk of divorce. Come on, man. I read this story. I printed it out. I gave it to Marcy. And I said, look, baby. Listen, babe. I love you so much. I love you so much. That's why I don't pick up my underwear, babe. Marcy, she's brilliant, man, like some of you ladies. She came up with another study. Marcy said this. She said, the less a man does around the house, the more likely he is to die in his sleep, right? Come on. Come on, ladies. Any of y'all, seriously, any of you ever been worn out? Any of you ever been tired? If you look at this scripture and you really look and go back to the original word here, it means this. It says, I've toiled. I've toiled all night, God. Some of you been there. I've toiled. We don't use that word. What does the word toil mean in the Greek? This is what it means here. I want y'all to look at this. This is what Peter's really saying. He says, God, I toil. It means to have grown weary to the point of failure. To grow weary to the point of failure, almost to the point where you just faint. This word toil, it means for you to be, basically what it's saying here, is to be spiritless. In other words, it attacks your spirit. Some of y'all have been there before. Some of you moms, some of you single moms, it's never enough. You think about it, it's never, I keep trying. Some of you dads, some of you men, you keep working and working and working and working. And sometimes it feels like it's never appreciated. Think about this, man. We've been there. God, I've been working so hard in my life. Been working so hard on this relationship. I've been working so hard at my job. And then you get to the place like Peter, and it's like, for nothing. Now, y'all looking at me, some of y'all just kind of yawning a little bit. I'm going to tell you right now, we've all been there, man. If you want to be honest with Jesus, you've been there at a place where you're thinking, man, God, is this for nothing? So I want y'all to stay with me, man. Here's Peter. He's tired. He's weary. He's discouraged. And here's what he's left with, an empty net. How many of y'all ever had an empty net? I'm talking about, you know, when you think about your life, you look at it and you say, for what? Right? Anybody been there? And so what we're going to do, we're going to look at how we fail, okay? If you're taking notes, two ways that we fail. You're either going to fail backwards or you're going to fail forwards. There's only two ways to fall. You're either going to fall backwards or you're going to fall forward. If you're taking notes here, number one, how do we fail backwards? One way that we do this, we keep repeating. Everybody say repeating. Repeating. We keep repeating the same mistake. In other words, we keep doing the same dumb old thing over and over and over again. Listen to what the scripture talks about, man. How many of y'all know? God's talking to us. Talking to me. Proverbs 26:11, it says, as a dog returns to his vomit. Boy, this is encouraging. Talking about vomit. It says, so a fool, listen to this, repeats his foolishness. Peter understood this. Peter failed many times. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Peter had a lot to do with faith. He understood it. He says, this is an old saying. Talking about that proverb. A dog comes back to what he's vomited in a pig. Now we got a dog and vomit. Now we got a pig. And it said, a pig is washed only to come back and wallow in the mud again. Listen to what it says here. This is the way it is with those who turn again to their sin. Same old sin, same old mistake. Some of you single ladies, y'all look at me. Some of the single ladies, y'all look at me. Do you realize the last 5 boyfriends you had is the same guy? Do you realize that? The last 5 boyfriends is the same guy. You said, no, they weren't. Some of you guys, listen to me. Those last 5 girlfriends, same girl, same hair, right? Am I correct? Same look, same talk, same intentions. Everybody say, uh-oh. All right? Same lack of passion for God, same old mistake. Now, some of y'all pointing right now. Don't point. Don't point. No fighting in here, all right? Listen, I think we need to do a new policy here. How many of y'all know every now and then you got to add a new policy to church? New church policy. Here's what I think, guys. After three bad breakups, I'm going to help the ladies out. After 3 bad breakups, you need to let Pastor Harry betroth you. You just need to let him pick your bride, pick your husband, pick your wife. That's the way to do it, right? Everybody say mistake. I'm just picking. All right? But listen, guys, here's what the scripture says in Proverbs 28:13. It says, a man or a woman who refuses, everybody say pride. Talking about pride here. Keep doing the same old dumb thing. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be what? Successful. But, everybody say but. But if he or she confesses and forsakes them, guess what happens? We get another chance. Definition of insanity is doing the same old thing over and over again and expecting what? Different results. That sounds like our political system, right? Sounds like Congress. Same old thing. Number 2, how do we fail backwards? When we give up way too soon. When we give up too soon. You know, I look across this room and chances are there's a lot of dreams that many of you have given up on. I look across this room, man, there's a lot of marriages that some of you right now in this room you're wanting to give up on. Some of you parents and grandparents, you want to give up on that child. You want to give up on that grandchild. Some of you men and women in here, man, you had a dream, man, I'm telling you, for a business, for an idea, for this and that. Chances are, gave up on it. I think the fact is, too, there's some of you in this room, you've even given up on God, man. We give up way too soon. Way too soon. And I want you to write this down. This is important. And some of you need to hear this. This is directed to one of you here today. I want you to see this. Failure does not make you a failure unless you quit. Failure does not make you a failure unless what? Unless you quit. You're not a failure. Don't wear that identity. I had a man in my office, and he was sitting there, and he says, look, 23 years, Darren, I haven't served God. I knew I was called. I knew this. I knew that. But for 23 years, I've run from God. And here's the deal. I know God's finished with me. Listen, God don't do math like we do math. Y'all do realize that. And we just read the scripture, man, that God gives us a second chance. How many of y'all ever heard of Walt Disney? Anybody ever heard of Walt Disney? How many of y'all say successful cat, right? They was pretty successful. Here's the thing about Walt Disney. I don't know if y'all realize this. He was fired on his first job. And here's why he was fired. He was working for a paper, and he was fired, and his boss says, you don't have enough imagination. Now, in the Lawn House, we would say that boss is straight up stupid, right? Okay? But here's the thing about Walt Disney. How many of y'all know he didn't allow that to stop him? As a matter of fact, he became a genius at imagination. And because of that, millions and millions and millions of people have been affected by his work, affected by his dream. His dream were for other people. And I love the side story of this, because look, Walt Disney World years ago, they bought ABC. Y'all heard of ABC, right? Guess who owned the paper that he was fired from? ABC. Guess who had the last laugh on that? Oh, Walt, man. Listen, sometimes we give up way too soon. Let me just be honest with you, man. I grew up, and I tell you, man, as a kid, when I went to school, I had a few challenges. I was a little hyper. I was a little rebellious. And sometimes I just learned a little bit different, man. I mean, the way rote memory and all that in class and everything, I didn't learn that way. I was more tactile. And so by the time I got to seventh grade, I had more teachers and more nuns tell me I was stupid than you can imagine, man. I had more teachers tell me I was a failure. So after all those years, by the time I got to seventh grade, I started wearing that label. It's like, okay, you're going to put that label on me? All right. And how many of y'all know, man, I had a little fun in the class. I got in a little trouble. But here's the thing, man, I'll never forget my seventh grade teacher, man. She kept telling me how stupid I was, and finally she called for a meeting. And she called for a meeting for mom and dad. How many of y'all know, if you're calling for dad, there's something going on in the classroom, right? And so I'm nervous as can be. And here's the thing, guys. She meets with my mom and dad, and I'm in the room. That's probably not a wise thing. And so here she is telling my parents how bad I am, how much a failure I am, and how I'll never learn math. Now, my mom was a sweet, sweet, sweet woman. But how many of y'all know if you mess with a boy? I'm going to tell you, that Cajun in her from Plaquemine, Louisiana, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to come out. And so she's going on all about how bad I am. My mom interrupts her, and then she interrupts my mom. Now, my dad's there, and here's the thing. You don't interrupt my mama with my daddy around. That's the wrong move. And this was before my dad was redeemed, okay? This is B.C. days. B.C. days. Well, actually, he got saved a year before it, but he was still working on some things. Here's my dad. My dad said, hold up, wait a minute. Listen here, lady. He didn't call her lady. He called her another word. And he said, let me just tell you something, woman. And he went on, and he looked at me, and he says, my boy will pass your class. And I'm sitting there going, Dad, I got an F in this class. Are you kidding me? I'm going to pass this class? And my dad said, yeah, he's going to pass his class because here's the deal. I know he can succeed. And you know, from that point, something happened with me. It's like my dad stood up for me. My mom stood up for me. And guys, here's the cool thing. I've had the last laugh because I went back in education. I went back. I got a degree in this and a degree in that. I was a teacher. All right, I was a coach, I was an administrator, so I got to fire some teachers, right? Guess who had the last laugh on that? Don't give up too soon. Some of you wanting to do that right now. Way too soon, man. That's how you fail backwards, guys. Don't let anyone label you. Here's the thing I've learned about failure. Failure is only an event in time, but it's not a person. It's only an event in time, but it's not a person. But here's the challenge. I'm going to be, I know, look, man, we're being honest, right? How many of y'all got those little whispers every now and then that says you're a failure? I call it the little demonic whispers. It's where the devil's always bringing up your past, right? You can't do this. You can't do that. Well, you remember when you did this? You remember when you did that? Remember when you cheated on this or you cheated on that? Listen, how many of y'all know Jesus gives us a second chance? And so what you got to do is put that whisper aside. Some of you, listen to me, God's calling some of you guys into the ministry. And you're saying, man, what? Listen, a great vision. How many of y'all want to reach the state of Arkansas? Come on, raise your hand if you want to reach it. We want to see the spiritual climate change all throughout this state. It's going to take all of us, which for some of you, it means it's going to take you to obey God. Second chance, man. God's a God of a second chance. How many of y'all like comebacks? Anybody like comebacks? All right, it's basketball season. How many of y'all, your bracket's already messed up, right? I mean, Harry has blown it. I mean, Harry thinks he's all basketball guy. Look, his bracket's gone, man. But here's the thing about basketball. If there's time on the clock, you can still make a shot, especially if Steph Curry got the ball, right? I mean, that guy's got a sick game. I mean, he puts up a shot, he'll let it fly at any time, man. Some of you need to let it fly, man. Football, I love football. The reason I love football, it's not over until the last play, man. Now, how many of y'all remember 2002? 2002, there was this thing called the Miracle on Markham. Any of y'all remember that? All right? Don't celebrate that mess, man. Don't do that, man. Look, that's a painful memory for me, and y'all having fun on me. Y'all making fun of me right now. That's it. I'm out of here, all right? But let's get back to the Bible spiritually, okay? Here we go. Let's get back to the Bible. All right, here's the thing, guys. How do you fail forward? Y'all look with me in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Now, this is Peter talking. Remember, he's talking about all his failure, all the challenges he had. Listen to what he says. But nevertheless, everybody say but. But nevertheless, if you say so, I will. He says, Jesus, but nevertheless, if you say so, I will let the nets down. What does it say right here? Again. Y'all look at me. Some of you this weekend, you need to get that in your spirit. But nevertheless, God, I know I've blown it. God, I know I've done this. I know this. I know that. But nevertheless, I will. Come on, y'all not hearing me, man. Some of you need to get that in your spirit. You need to build your faith and say, Jesus, but nevertheless, I will let my nets down again. How many of you need to let some nets down again in your life? How many of y'all need to trust God again? How many of y'all need to believe God again? How many of y'all in this room right now, you need faith back in your spirit to say, okay, God, I'm going to try again. I'm going to get up. Y'all look at me, man. Look at me. Sometimes you just got to get up. Sometimes you just got to brush it off, man. Get up. Sometimes we just got to suck it up. That's life. It's hard. I know. We've been there. All of us been through different things. Sometimes you just got to get yourself up and look at Jesus and say, you know what? I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. Look, quit wallowing. Remember the pig story? Quit wallowing. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. That's life, man. But with Jesus, guess what? I'm going to try again. So how do we fall forward? How do we fall forward? Two real quick things. Number one, you got to get Jesus in your boat. You want to fail forward? Get Jesus in your boat. Invite Jesus in your boat. When you're facing failure in your life, instead of trying to say, hey, I got this, God, instead say, Jesus, I know you got this. Write this down, guys. It matters who and what is in your boat. It matters who and what is in your boat. Now, how many of y'all like to go fishing? Anybody like going fishing? Come on, a few of you like fishing. How many of y'all, come on, raise your hand, you like fishing. All right? Now, how many of y'all like catching, right? I don't like fishing. I like catching, okay? How many of y'all know there's a difference in fishing and catching? And here's the thing I've learned. It matters who's in my boat. When I go fishing by myself, I don't catch fish. But when I get my son to come along with me, we're going to catch some fish. Why? Because he's a fisherman. Why? Because he's skilled. Why? Because he knows where the fish are. I can cast just right on the wrong place, and all of a sudden he pulls out a fish. It matters who's in your boat, but it also matters what you got in your boat. Now, look, sometimes my son has some off days. Anybody ever sink a boat in here? Come on, raise your hand. You're proud of it. Look, Cajuns, we sink boats. Why? Because we forget to put the plug in the boat. I'm telling you, my son has sank three boats. It matters what you put in the boat. Guys, listen to me. Who's in your boat? Is Jesus in your boat? What do you have in your boat? Some of you guys, some of you ladies in here, y'all got that A-type personality. I know, I'm driven. I got the same type of personality. We're always looking for this and that, and we want to succeed, and we want to try this, and we want to try that. The next thing, the next investment, the next idea, all this. Have you ever thought about asking Jesus first? Is Jesus in your boat? Here's the thing I've learned as you look at Scripture, and I love sequence in Scripture. When you read Scripture, it's important you look at the sequence of events. Remember this miracle about them catching so many fish that they even had to bring their partners in. It almost sank their boat. This miracle, remember what I said? It's to teach us a lesson. And that is you can have success and failure. Listen, the sequence of this, y'all catch this. Jesus needed a platform. He needed something that day to minister to the crowd. Y'all see this? And so he said, Peter, can I use your boat? Can I borrow your boat? There's some people you don't want borrowing your stuff. I'm not going to say a name. I'm not going to say a staff member. I'm not going to say that. But if Jesus wants my stuff, it's like, here it is, right? Peter gives Jesus his boat. And look what happens. It becomes a platform for God, for Jesus to minister to the thousands. Think about that. Now, let me just pass you a little bit. What if you allow Jesus to use every area of your life? Think about it. What kind of platform would that look like? What if we allow Jesus to use everything we have, all of our resources, our job, our influence, our relationships, everything we have, we go to God and we say, God, it's all yours. What would this church look like? What would the vision of this church look like? What would this state look like? What would your neighborhood look like? Your workplace? Here's the thing. When we give God all of our resources, God comes back and he'll bless us. But here's the challenge with us. Sometimes we kick Jesus out of the boat. Ain't y'all ever kicked Jesus out of the boat? I know I have. It's like, Jesus, come in my boat. All right, with my family. Come in my boat with my family and my kid. Jesus, yes. But all of a sudden in my marriage, while the kids aren't there, Jesus, no. Oh, in church, man, how many of y'all? It's Sunday, right? We looking sharp. Jesus, yes. But you know what? On the job, Jesus, no. Oh, Jesus, I want you in my boat. I want the blessings. I want my finances blessed. Oh, Jesus, yes. But I can't simply obey him and trust God and tithe. Jesus, no. Oh, yes, private. Yes, Jesus. Public, no. Listen, man, God wants every area of our life. Y'all do realize that? Every area. And when you're willing to give Jesus everything, when you're willing to say, Jesus is all yours, then instead of not catching and tauling day after day, week after week, in 10 minutes, a miracle took place. In 10 minutes. Some of you all about the spiritual Jesus. Yes, my spiritual life, but the practical, no. When Jesus told Peter, look, cast your net, Peter could have said, hey, dude, I'm the fisherman. You remember who Peter is, right? This is what in this story, this don't really go to the personality. Because what Peter did, he could have said, man, I'm the fisherman, you're the carpenter, I'll text you when I need something built, right? He didn't do that. He obeyed. Second point I want you to see about this. How do we fall or fail forward? You obey what Jesus says. Just simply obey what Jesus tells you to do. Luke chapter 5, I want y'all to get this, verse 4. Y'all look with me on the screen here. Luke chapter 5, verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, he said, everybody said, what's God speaking to you this weekend? Come on, what is God speaking to you? I'm talking about, remember how we started this message? God wants to speak to who? To you. Listen what Peter, he hears this. Jesus says, look, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. What does that mean? Y'all look at this. Here's what Jesus was saying. Jesus told them when. Everybody say when. Some of you asking God when. He says when the fish. He said, I want you to do it when? Now. He told them where to fish. He says, go out into the deep. And he taught them how to fish. Let down your nets. Listen, guys, this whole vision of this year, it's all about us as a church getting into what? The Word of God. And here's the thing I know. The Word of God will tell you the when, the where, and the how. It's instructions. It's great, man. There's so many promises there. God will tell you the when, the where, and the how. But y'all look at me. That's not enough. You say, what do you mean? There's a lot of promises sitting in this Word. What Peter had to do, and some of you are going to get this weekend, what God is asking you to do is take the when, the where, and the how, and then combine it with obedience. And then when you do that, God's blessing comes. God's miracle comes. I'm going to ask all of you to bow your head here in this place.